Welcome to Exiles, a Gospel of Mark podcast. We're coming to you from Grace Church in Erie, Pennsylvania, where we're taking what we learn about ancient truths in the person of Jesus into our everyday life. You can check out whoisgrace.com/Mark for the sermon and resources that we're using for our conversation. Thanks for joining us. We are here, and we are ready to conclude season two. I'm calling it now. This is season two. It was five weeks long.
I mean, didn't we have it labeled as season two?
We did, but I just didn't know because it's not long. So the next one's going to be season three.
I mean, if it's a chunk, then it's a season.
Season three is going to be.
There's a break.
Long.
3 months long?
Yeah.
12 weeks?
Yeah.
Ish?
Yeah. It needs its own.
Yeah.
Okay. So yeah, season two for sure.
Is that how long the first season was? It was 12?
12, 13? Yeah. I think it was eight.
It was like 2 months.
Eight.
Wow.
Thanks for figuring this
longest
out.
Longest season coming. Longest season coming.
Coming at you. Yeah, so guys, I would like to know what your favorite Easter candy is.
Oh,
please.
I don't eat candy. Just kidding.
But if you did, if you were
really
to
not eat candy.
He's not eating it right now.
I'm trying to behave right now.
If you were not free for the whole week. If you were not behaving at Easter.
What am I eating?
What are you stealing out of the
basket? If you are not behaving.
Or to be what you don't like, if that's easier, if that's less of a...
Are you having a hard time not eating sugar?
First couple of days was rough, yeah.
The headache?
It's always
Were you eating
rough.
That much sugar, though?
I mean, aren't we all?
It's in everything. Everything.
Yeah, it really is.
Yeah, I mean, read your milk.
Are you eating, like, good sugars, like fruit and stuff?
Yeah, of course. Okay. Yeah, just not processed sugar.
Celsius is sugar-free, thank you.
Oh, yeah.
It just has sugar.
The healthy version?
No, totally. So I'm Mike, one of the pastors here, and I like either Whopper eggs.
Oh,
you
wow.
know, you know, like the Whoppers, but yeah. the eggs, or just a good bunny-shaped Reese's chocolate. Peanut butter cup.
Oh, okay.
Reese's in any form is delicious. Superior. Yeah.
Okay. Shay, someone that we work with, she has a thing, like she has a hierarchy of Reese's, and the egg is her favorite. And it's the one like
does
she
oh, really?
Like her. So if you want to take her something when she has the baby, the eggs, the Reese's eggs, she
loves it comes
them.
In many forms.
She likes the like traditional larger size Reese's egg. She thinks it's the best candy on the planet, better than any other Reese's.
I did not know
she's
that.
We used to share an office. She talked to me about it a lot.
Because there's eggs, cups, small cups, yeah, bunnies. No, there's all kinds of.
Mm-hmm. I've never been into Reese's. I mean, I don't not like
Reese's
it.
Reese's Pieces are gross.
I just haven't.
Well, you're gross.
Well, I talked to Reese's.
Wow. Fight.
We were talking about your not having sugar, but then she asked you if you were not behaving, what would you eat?
I don't know. I love Swedish fish, but that's not like
that's not Easter,
candy. I know.
That's okay.
So in Scotland, we have Easter eggs, like big old Easter, like not, obviously, you know, you
can
get
you
the small Easter, but like
plastic instead of a basket? Or they're chocolate.
No, they're like gigantic chocolate eggs.
Oh, chocolate. Okay.
And then like inside it's whatever.
You crack
brand.
Them open?
Yeah. You crack them open.
That's fun.
You eat the chocolate shell, and then inside it's whatever that brand is.
When you say gigantic.
Like how big are we talking? Like the size of my bottle? Like,
but so people who are just
inches.
Listening, how?
Yeah, 12, 18 inches.
Okay, which is like what, half a meter?
A little.
In Scotland.
Half a meter, no.
In any case. Okay.
I don't know.
It's a big egg.
Yeah, I've been in America too long. I don't know how big a meter is anymore. Someone tells.
Who does?
Sarah, what about you? I don't know why I'm still pushing this forward. I'm just trying to finish it.
I love Cadbury eggs.
What do you mean?
The Cadbury eggs where
it's
you...
It's pretty vague.
That's the chocolate egg and we crack it open. It's like...
The cream.
The cream in the middle.
And those are very...
Stop.
I'll hop on that bandwagon.
And I will literally crack them open and then just scoop everything in out and eat it. It's disgusting.
Yeah, how do you eat it?
That's how I eat it.
That is the question.
You just bite into it, crack it open like an egg and eat out the center.
Yeah.
It literally makes me like... Because I eat them till I'm sick.
Do you use a spoon or do you use
your
finger?
No, use my finger.
Okay.
Like, scoop it out. But my absolute downfall for Easter is Starburst jelly beans.
Yeah. Oh, I do love a jelly bean.
Jelly beans, my favorite.
They are so...
We love the same candy.
Oh.
Yeah.
Air five.
Oh, yeah. Great.
That is...
That's why we like each other.
I will, like, hide them. I won't share them. It's horrible. But I get sick and it's like Skittles. You get the sores in your mouth if you eat too many Skittles. No one experiences that.
You must know. Nobody.
What do you mean sores?
Like
you're cutting yourself with
no,
the Skittles?
No, like it's like too much sugar in my mouth or something. Like
that's
I ate too much
sugar.
And I get like on my tongue.
It's just like,
do you know what I'm talking about?
Like, I just have like pictures of you binge eating. Like,
I'm picturing her like the shades are drawn, yes, like she's crying under her covers.
Normally,
she's
like, what happens? Yeah. Normally, what happens is
I take
Starburst jelly beans and I keep them in my car door. So no, like, so they're always.
We will pray for Sarah at the end of this.
Speaking of, maybe you shouldn't celebrate Easter this year.
Okay,
she's been celebrating already. You can tell.
I have walked by so many Starburst jelly bean bags, and I'm like, and I will not look at it.
I've never heard of someone getting like mouth sores from
Skittles jelly beans.
Well, I will sugar, it makes sense.
The sugar
too much sugar
just eats at me.
I guess, but like, what?
It does.
Okay,
like,
it's fine. It's fine. Everything's fine.
I think it's real, a real thing. It's not just me.
Yeah, no, I'm sure. I'm sure it is. Okay.
Your favorite
so,
candy?
What about you?
She said, jelly beans, right?
Yeah, it's jelly beans. Yeah,
like a classic bag of jelly beans. Do you like them when they have like a Starburst thing?
No, there's this particular brand in Pennsylvania called Just Born.
Oh,
never heard of
it. You can only find them at Wegmans. They're really good, but I like jelly. I don't have any like. There are definitely ones I don't like. I don't like when the shell's too like thick. On a jelly bean.
That makes sense.
That's my only stipulation.
You pick out the ones you don't like the brown ones or whatever.
Yeah, like a flavor you like.
So yeah, I think like brown. I talked to you about this the other day, I think. I think like brown M&Ms and like black gummy candy are like bad luck. So I don't have those.
And that's rooted in
science.
Taste
different.
Yeah. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And then I usually try to eat everything in like pairs.
Yes.
So like if I have like five left, I'll ask Dave, like, do you want one, three, or five? And then I'll have like the two or the four or whatever. So yeah, anything that I can like see, like I'll eat in evens.
I don't like odd stuff
little
either.
Things, like little things, not like a steak or something, but like.
If there's a counselor listening.
I was going to say, what is
sponsorship?
please diagnose our problems.
And like colors. I try to like, you know,
you want same colors or
different? And I try to make combinations. Then I figure out what the combination is my favorite from the handful. And then I'll leave two of that combination at the end.
With?
Yeah.
So there's a theory out there that.
About odds and evens?
No. About different colored candies.
Okay.
That they actually all taste the same.
I've heard that. Yeah. Skittles
like
and stuff.
Skittles and I think Starburst and those sorts of things.
No way.
They all taste different.
But it's the color that tricks your brain.
I could see that.
Into believing it's a different flavor.
Except for black jelly beans.
Yeah, those are
so gross.
Yeah.
Those taste
why they're bad luck.
And they're bad luck. I wouldn't know because I don't eat them.
You have great luck.
Out.
Yeah. Speaking of bad luck, Pastor Derek gave us a good big idea in his sermon. The big idea is you have been called and sent, which I think is a cool distinction that he gets into. I think this sermon's cool too because it's reflecting part of what we're talking about as a church, like the direction we want to go. We're kind of changing our missional mindset, I guess, if that's fair.
Yeah.
Thoughts?
Yeah, this idea of coming to church and really the finish line is just serving inside the walls of the church, but rather it's more of a multiplication model where, we come to church, potentially we serve, but the point is that we're called by God, that we're changed by God, and then we're sent out by God to impact and change the world. So definitely could resonate with that as he was talking about that.
I think it's so cool too how it's like not a lot of times in my opinion, in my experience, people associate calling with church ministry, building stuff. So like I wish I had like a calling like you do.
Yes.
You just need to figure out what it is. And the whole like live, work, and play kind of phrase that we're adopting, I think is hopefully going to be cool and helpful for people.
Yeah, I think that's really good because there's that tension that if we're not working inside the walls of the church or we're not a high capacity volunteer or we're not on staff, do we really have a calling or do we just have like this general calling in life?
Right.
Some have specific, some have general. So I think it's easy to feel lost inside of your Christianity at times. If you don't find yourself, and that's some of the stories that we've heard by, as we're rolling out this new vision, like, oh my gosh, like you're actually putting language to something that I've always felt guilty about, you know, like I take care of my, I think Derek even said it.
That
like
story was,
it was very
impactful.
Important.
Yeah. Or I have to align myself with what the church needs in this specific context when, and I have to, it's people not knowing that they're,
Think people, of all the things you're doing all day long.
And people have felt like they have to cram their God-given calling that they might not even recognize fully into a tiny little box of expectations when in fact you're supposed to be where God is calling
you. Yes.
Go do that. Go be there. And we as a church will equip you. If that's in the walls, great. If that's outside the walls, fantastic.
Mm-hmm. And as a, I mean, as a church, I mean, we, I think we all were in the room at some point when we realized, like, celebrating the volunteers just recently, like Derek said.
Yeah.
We're like, oh.
Awkward.
Yeah. Like, we're, the church sometimes only celebrates those who are serving inside the walls.
Yeah.
And the message that that can send to those who have callings elsewhere.
And all the stories that,
yeah.
That are actually happening that should be recognized and aren't talked about.
And sometimes those stories, Sarah's tapping and
I've been doing so good.
You tapped a lot at the beginning as
did
well.
Did I
you
as did, well? Yeah. And mm-hmm. like, but all in all, I've been doing much, like I take all my stuff off. I haven't been...
Well done.
Thank
well
you. Done.
Just today.
Back.
Just today.
Let me get one more in.
Good. I understand.
But sometimes, and it's not about measuring, right? But sometimes the stories that we miss are incredible stories. Because
mm-hmm. How many more conversations would we actually be having if they were encouraged to be talked about or they were actually celebrated? Like if she hadn't come up and said anything to Derek... Like that story would have stayed within herself. And that's now opening up a door to have all these conversations about all these things that are going on once you leave your building.
Yeah.
It's so vital.
And so what's interesting to think is, so the kind of the re-engineering or redirection that we're going to as a church is clearly demonstrated by Jesus in his, I mean, attend, connect, serve, if you will. Like he brought the disciples in and got them hooked up, but then he also, call, train, send. Yeah. Like he flips them back out again. Mm-hmm. So as we kind of mold ourselves to fit that Jesus's model, I know some of us who are in some of those discussions that are going on for months, like there's a bit of a reprogramming in our own brains, at least for me, to like reprogram this idea. To align myself with Jesus's model rather than trying to fit him into the model I'm comfortable with.
Yeah.
And some of the conversations we're having, I'm noticing it's also taking some effort and time and energy for others to reprogram and to come. And that's fine.
Yeah.
Because I guess I just had a thought of like, what were the disciples like hanging out with Jesus? And then all of a sudden, Ayo, pair up. I'm going to send you guys out.
I thought about that.
How freaky would that have been?
Uncomfortable.
And I'm going to cast the demon and I'm going to heal.
But what?
You're going to stay here?
Me?
And I have to go with... him?
Yeah.
Can you pick a different part?
Yeah, for real.
Yeah.
And I think what's important as well is like, I think we can toss the baby out with the bathwater sometimes. And you guys have never heard that?
I definitely have heard that. Okay.
Sarah's never heard it, but.
Toss the dog out with the bathwater.
Yeah, no,
the,
that's more.
Toss the dog out with the
bathwater. That's worn out.
You've never heard that?
No. But why are we tossing babies?
I don't know. Let me just finish my. Forget I said that.
Because.
I think what we can do is disregard the old model in pursuit of the new model. But I do think, to your point, that, I mean, Jesus did, there is this call to service as well before he, I mean, calling probably comes right at the beginning, but before he
brings
he
him
sent
in.
Them out. Yeah. So I don't think the old model, the connect, what was it?
Attend, connect, serve.
Yeah. Attend, connect, serve. I don't think that it's entirely incorrect because there's definitely...
It's just incomplete.
Yeah, it's just incomplete. Yeah. And I think it's important for us to recognize that. That there is room for that as well. It's just not the be-all, end-all.
Yes. I think historically, grace has been really one of the things... I don't want to like overly claim this, but one of the things that I really do think God has given us is this ability to... have like a foot on the shoreline and a foot in a stream where we're like doing new things and trying new things and following new learnings like this. And then we're still like rooted solid in other things. And this is another example of that, I think. And he's historically really honored that. So I'm excited to see. It's good. There's like going to be a lot of tension, but I think it's going to be good tension.
But it's just tension because it's the unknown.
It's the unknown. Yeah. Unknown. Yeah. Right. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Which
and
is a good space to live.
Trying to like level the playing field a little bit.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's, I think that's a great picture. It's leveling both and saying both are equally important.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So let's pursue both of them. Let's chase them both down.
Yeah, that's good. Okay, so a big section of this sermon was about how to live out your calling. And I feel like for us on this podcast, this is a good thing to circle around, just being really practical about calling. And you guys might be listening and you're like, okay, these are like four people that work at church that are about to talk to us about calling. But I think all of us could identify either,
do you know your calling or what to do with it?
Or a secondary calling or whatever that we can, you know, also talk about. Like, this isn't just like, oh, we work at a church, so therefore we know our calling. Like,
I don't know if I really know mine.
What? Really?
I mean, I've done shape. Like, I know, like, my spiritual gifts and stuff, but sometimes I'm like, am I supposed to be doing something else? I don't know. I don't know.
I'm not making fun. I'm being totally sincere. Do you not feel like it's around like dogs?
Oh.
And like taking care of the people, the families, the dogs.
Yes. Okay. Yes. Yeah. I agree with that. I think there's,
I'm not trying to like, put
no,
on you, but
no. Like now that I'm dog sitting and I'm truly intimate in these people's lives. Thank you for saying this.
You're welcome.
Because I should think of it that way, because this didn't happen. This happened because I'm doing this because Jesus put it in my path. Like,
and you used to do insane amounts
of dog rescue.
Yeah.
Yes. And I was always building relationships with people.
Yes.
Okay. Shoot, girl.
So thanks like for joining us.
We're done.
We're done here.
And that's how you identify someone's calling.
No.
Address the injustice in the world.
Exactly.
Almost. And now it's serving people just at a different level. Like I am actually working with a woman. Her husband is dying of cancer. We've become pretty close, and I'm going over there weekly, if not more, to help her with her dog while she is dealing with, and that is a big deal to me. I don't even want her to pay me because I'm just happy to help her with this whole thing. But,
I'd say it's a big deal to God.
Yeah.
Absolutely. And her and I are like, yeah. And there's conversations that are happening and like, okay. Yeah, I think okay.
Look at you,
are
the pieces together?
And then,
this is great.
And, but also,
you can't
to
sales sometimes you have podcast.
To. It's right. You can't. Yeah. And or are we? Is this also an example of you think that your calling has to be this like,
yes,
major thing?
I think
or
that,
it's not good enough.
That is a fallacy, and I think it's
real.
I mean, Satan, he's not a dummy. Like, no. I think that's a great way. Your calling has to be some big. Be a missionary or be a pastor, and then all of a sudden your calling gets devalued.
Yeah.
And so do I really, like the two questions that Derek asked, which I loved, were what skill has God given me by which I can bless the world? Where and how can I use it right now to most strategically advance the mission of God?
This is it.
I think we all have, we're all called by God, but how does that present itself in this season, in this situation? It can change, I believe, you know, as different situations and seasons go, but like, then how can you affect change for the gospel and affect someone with the gospel right now? And you helping that woman with her dog and like, 100%.
And your comment about how Satan steps in and he uses his own tactics to make you feel like your calling really isn't a calling. My first instant thought was, well, it can't be a calling because they're paying me.
No, absolutely not true. Absolutely
hope that's not true.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like this, you're right. These are the games he plays.
Yeah. And I can speak to the changing thing, how like calling can change. I used to, when I worked here, I used to do like wedding photography, and I did it because like I did Maddie's wedding and I did both boys like Matt and, you know, anyway.
Okay. So you did Matt and Dina's birthday wedding.
Yeah. And,
you were at the wedding.
Yeah.
I was in the bridal party. What?
Oh yeah. I have pictures of you. And also
sounded slightly
why
creepy.
Why can I
think of Anthony?
Yeah, thank you.
You were also there. What did you
talk about?
I was also at that way. What?
Yeah. So anyway, I went through a season of my life.
Hi everyone.
Look at all these connections being made today.
I went through a season of my life where I did wedding photography. It was super.
And her wedding, their pictures are beautiful.
Yeah, thanks. So it was a skill, as a skill that I had. So I'm answering these questions, and I randomly heard this, I don't think it was a podcast, I think it was like a YouTube thing or something, these photographers talking about how they're Christian photographers. And basically, I started to adopt this mindset that I am with these people in an extremely intimate setting. Usually it's like just me and one person sometimes. Like sometimes it's just me and the bride waiting for her dad to come out, or like I'm with the guy by himself waiting for his friends, or like whatever. So all these like very like intimate moments, and everyone's at on high alert, emotions are all over the place. So I tried as hard as I could. I wasn't like, obviously, I guess I shouldn't say obviously, but I wasn't like trying to get them to like, you know, across some sort of salvation line before they walked down the aisle. But I definitely was conscious of being a joyful person, a person of peace. Mm-hmm. Let me mitigate this. Honestly, this disagreement you're having with your mother-in-law, I'll get right in there. Mm-hmm. Like that was my purpose in those seasons. And I loved it. I don't do it anymore, but it was it was a time of life. Like once we got Dax, I was like, this is not happening anymore. Mm-hmm. But I think, you know, God can use different gifts that you have at different times, different passions, like you're saying, to further his mission. I don't know what's happening with all these people, but hopefully it helps.
They're all equally legitimate. Yeah. There's no, the right calling for you is the calling that God has given you.
Yeah.
It's not, there's not a more right or less right. There's not one. It's the call God's given you at this time, at this place, with what he's provided you. Follow that, whatever that might be, because it honors and glorifies God.
I would really love to be at a place where I could look at it and be like, okay, Jesus has called me to do this. And my first reaction, not to be nervous or like fearful or like questioning myself. I want to get to a place, and we'll talk about this, him and I want to get to a place where like my first reaction is,
oh,
like,
wow.
I'm so excited. Okay, let's do it. Like, you know, like, because literally God himself is asking me to do something. He's giving me the ability to do something. Wouldn't it just be so wonderful to be in a place where, like, it happens and you're like, yes, instead of like, oh, I can't do this, or like fearful or like nervous.
Yeah, it's a good thought. So my relationship with calling, I think, is a little unique. Derek touched on this a little bit in the message as well, that... There's this general calling in life. Like, we're all generally called, but there is also a specific reality too. I think I grew up only believing that there was specific callings.
Yeah,
and not really grasping the idea of like general calling. Mm-hmm. So when I moved from Wilson to Erie, and you know, this has been part of this podcast journey for me as well. But that 4 years was to really discover and own the general calling of husband and father. I don't do it great, but I'd probably do it much better than I would have had I not had, you know, that insight. Because
it's true.
It wasn't, I never really looked at that as a calling, but it certainly is. Like, God has called you to be, you know, faithful in that season, or a provider, or whatever. So there's this, you have to grasp that calling, but it's a general calling that doesn't ever go, it doesn't go away. But there are those specific realities. So I gave up a specific calling, or the season ended. It's a better way to say it. Season ended. And then I'm like, what now? Like, I was lost. I was lost because I had not appreciated this general calling that God had called me to. Now I see it.
Oh, that's fascinating.
Yeah, and I believe it was a season. It was a 4 years of, and now God's starting to do some other stuff in my life, as regards to, you know, specific calling. So it's just, it's interesting. I think people probably need to hear that as well.
That's great.
Don't just chase down the specific if you're unfaithful in that general calling that God has placed.
Yeah, you're already sitting where you're sitting.
Yeah.
And I think what's actually, I was having a discussion about this with somebody a couple months ago, just. The calling he was feeling, but also a husband and a father. And if it's legitimate, those might have tension, but they will never conflict with each other.
Yeah,
God will never call
point.
Me to be a poor husband or a poor father in whatever specific calling he's, they will align. There's going to be tension. Sure, there's going to be some friction.
Figure it out.
But those will align because those are all legitimate callings, both specific and general, that he's given me.
Yeah, that's so important. And then that's I'm glad you said that, because that's part of the reason why I brought it up as well. Because I think had I not appreciated this general calling as a husband and a father, you know, it may have been placed secondary in life. And you see it. I mean, you see it with pastors' kids, you know, all through generations. Like, you know, my dad loved Jesus more than me type thing. So they grow up and they resent Jesus because, you know, dad was always at church. He was never around. And that's because sometimes we prioritize these callings.
Correct.
But I think it's a really good, it's not God's plan for those callings to butt heads and for God to go, oh, you have to choose one. That's just not how he works.
No. Do you think in
chaos and confusion,
if there is a clash or things are resisting or there's like chaos with it, would it be safe to say it's because you're not depending on him to take care of the calling, you're trying to depend on yourself?
Oh, it could be.
Yeah.
It's a good segue also.
Because it should be smooth. In a sense, like you still have your tensions. It's still a lot of work. But if it gets to a certain point where it's just like total chaos, should you reflect and be like, okay, am I like trying to do this all on my own and I'm not depending on him enough, which we do talk about?
That's a great question.
So
I think for me, it's a misordering, misprioritization. So yeah. I constantly tell this to myself, and it kind of wraps into identity, because I think some of losing that calling and all of a sudden you find your identity in a calling. I'm a child of God. I'm the husband of Emily. I'm the father of Sophie and Isabel. Then I'm a pastor at Grace.
Yeah.
And if my calling as a father and a husband starts to get thrown significantly out of whack by being a pastor, it's forth for a reason, and I will happily drop it, because I think my calling is to be a father and to be a husband and to be a child of God. So I think, yes, there's general specific callings, but holding them loosely, but also holding them in the right order.
Yeah, it's really good. And the tension for me, at least, I'm not going to put this on everybody, but hopefully people can relate. The tension exists in the ability to measure success. So oftentimes in specific callings, it's much easier to measure success. But in the general callings of life, husband and father, it's not easy to measure success because it's ongoing. It's a process. It's life. So, you know, you get glimpses of like, Marlo's doing amazing, or Soren just, you know, whatever. But it's much harder to measure success. And for somebody like me who's success-driven, orientated, I have a bent in that direction. Specific calling is way easier to dig my teeth into and to run hard after, because I could probably put some measurable outcomes around it.
That's good.
Yeah, you don't know if you did the parenting thing for 30 years.
Right. Yeah.
That's your first whatever they're in therapy for.
You don't put your kids in therapy. You didn't raise them right.
Okay, so along these lines, we're already digging into this, but Pastor Eric talked about three ways to live out your calling. One, I'll say them all and we can just talk about what resonates, but learn to depend on God alone, which we started to hit on. That's where he talked about like traveling light, which was really cool. Find people who are open to the gospel. We're really going to focus on that one. And don't just say stuff, do stuff. What sticks out? Let me go ahead them all, but.
Yeah, I have a hard time translating the traveling light into the everyday.
Okay.
So I'm like, okay, what does that look like for me?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I'm not sure. You know, so I get it from a missionary perspective, you know, travel light, so you can, you know, move from town to town. There's an agility.
I think of agility is what I think of, like, or the whole savviness, you know, thing.
But, yeah. So for me, it's like, what is that? What does that look like?
Yeah.
In the everyday, honestly, I don't know.
Well, I love Derek. He said, the timeless principle here is when God calls you to something, there's always a gap between the assignment and the resourcing. Mm-hmm. And that struck me. Mm-hmm. So, and I remember, and even has a line in here, Scott, if you guys know Pastor Scott, that wily little guy. But when he was asking me to consider coming on staff and be the site pastor at Ace Harbor Creek, he was like, hey, I'd love you to think about it. Don't forget, God doesn't call the qualified, and he qualifies the called. Yeah. And I was like, oh, crap. Now I got to go chew on that one for a while. Mm-hmm. There is a gap, and I felt that gap keenly when I stepped into my role. Like, I have to imagine, Steve, when you transitioned and came over here and literally leading a creative agency, you probably felt a gap. And I think it's just willing to be uncomfortable, to step into a little bit of the chaos, because you know God's calling you to it, even if you don't know exactly how you're going to get there. I think that's just so God-honoring, and I think that's also hard for us in our comfortable, comfort-based, consumeristic Western culture to be like, oh, I got to get uncomfortable. Mm-hmm. I'm not going to have everything I can possibly foresee.
Right off the bat.
That's difficult to do, but it's also, I think it's supernatural when God calls you that.
That's good.
Yeah, it's good. Yeah, so there's that level of vulnerability. So if I were to translate it into you know, into my everyday, we travel light, which would have made the disciples very uncomfortable, right? Because they don't have their basic amenities or whatever. And so, yeah, there's this like, okay, what God is going to call me into, there's going to be a level of discomfort. And so we shouldn't brush it off as like, no, that's not God. It actually might be God if it feels unachievable or, you know, incredibly uncomfortable.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, it's good.
So, yeah, the idea of finding people who are actually open to the gospel.
You got to practice that a little more.
I know. I loved this section. I was like, yes, please. Yep. I just can't. Like, I can't do it with the keyboard warrior stuff.
Yeah.
Can't do it anymore. Can't stomach it. I don't understand. I'm just being honest. It's not like I'm not trying to be judgmental because I have my own issues, but I don't understand how that feels good to do all the time. Just like just commenting on every little news article, some like Jesus juke thing, or just hoping that your brilliance just gets out into the atmosphere and like does what it, to me, it's so self-serving and it's so pride-based. I don't get it. I don't understand it. And I think it's just time to stop, personally.
I think there's an idea out there that God's going to high-five you at the end of your life for defending him. And obviously, I'm oversimplifying it.
No, but that's a good way to put it.
Oh.
Yeah, you're on the front lines.
Yeah.
Taking shots.
Right. But as you read through the gospel, so I think specifically about the Garden of Gethsemane, right? Mm-hmm. And here come the soldiers, and Peter chooses to defend God. Mm-hmm. But our actions in defending God are actually not God-honoring.
Yeah, he didn't ask him.
Whops off the ear of this guy, and Jesus' response is to put the ear back on.
Right.
And so I think in those situations, I agree with you 100%. When I started in full-time ministry, I made a commitment to never post anything political online. These controversial things that are just not worth engaging outside of relationship.
Yeah.
And I'm just so grateful for that commitment that I made.
Yeah, it's good. It's wise.
But yeah, I feel like, you know, we're not going to get the high five. It's going to be like Jesus going like,
what the heck?
I don't need you to defend me. You know, 100%. His response is like,
100%.
You know, these guys aren't arresting me. I'm laying down my life. So stop. Make sure that you're not assuming an agenda, perspective, or direction and placing it on me that I didn't even place on myself. Mm-hmm. But I don't think we're, say slow to speak, quick to listen. It's slow to type.
Yeah, we're not moving any balls down any fields. Yeah.
Like, when it's the words don't match the actions, you look like an idiot and you bring dishonor on God's name.
Yeah, I think so.
And we have been suckered into this as a culture. I think God's going to say, you didn't need to defend me. I wanted you to demonstrate me. And so we get way too into it, and it's our job to defend God. He doesn't need an ounce of your defense. Mm-hmm. He just wants you to demonstrate his love and his care and his compassion and his forgiveness and his understanding.
I
deleted Facebook like about a year ago. I can't do that crap anymore.
It's garbage.
Because I'd see people with like their tags.
Sponsor.
Christ follower first. And then like using slurs. It would just rile me up like, oh.
Yeah. And it's not, I know that's your heart. I'm just going to say it because I know it's your heart too. But like, it's not because you feel like you're awesome and perfect and above any of this. It's just, it's hard to watch. It's hard to like
I don't
watch.
Wanna be.
It's like sitting at Thanksgiving and watching your uncle completely misbehave.
And
like, it's your family. Like, we're watching our brothers and sisters do crazy stuff. And it's hard to watch.
It's very hard to watch.
Yeah.
I have a lot of things to say about keyboard warriors. And I've been taught, if I have nothing nice to say, I don't say anything at all. But I would just like, when I think of keyboard warriors, to me, it's a very negative thing. And if you... I just always think of it. If you're sitting there and you're doing what you're doing at a keyboard, do you actually have the guts to do it outside? Probably not. Yeah. So I just think it's cowardly.
When we used to train,
that's all I'm gonna say.
We used to have a staff training on just like social media stuff like forever ago. And one of my main points of that was like, if you would not sit on this person's couch
and say it to
and
them.
Say this to them in their living room,
Then don't say it at all.
Don't say it on. Don't say it online. That's not right. It's just.
It's not.
I think we've said it on this podcast before, but I always go back to, like, I think Jesus just laid this model out perfectly. Those who are far from God, Jesus never dealt with them harshly. Jesus always dealt with them with compassion.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That was his first step towards those people. Mm-hmm. And these people were jacked up, women caught in adultery, mm-hmm. right? But it was always with compassion. Mm-hmm. And so we interact with this world. It's like, I don't want this to sound coy, but it's like lost people are lost.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
so they're lost. Mm-hmm. So they need, harshness is not going to mm-hmm. coerce them into, you know, a relationship with Christ. Compassion and care for their lostness is the direct, and Jesus demonstrated that the only people that Jesus was harsh with was the religious leaders, was the self-righteous, was those who thought that they knew best.
Mm-hmm.
And so I do, maybe this is wrong, but I do feel as though we have a responsibility to one another. I don't think it should be done in a public setting like Facebook.
No, correct.
But we do have a responsibility. If you claim to be a Christian, we have to engage in some tense conversations.
Yes.
Sure.
Like, we have to be a body that goes, that's not right.
Mm-hmm. And but there's still respect there in those conversations, hopefully.
Maybe. I mean,
I hope.
Jesus respected the image and likeness of God that they were made in, but I mean, he called them broods of vipers, you know? He said some really, really harsh words, because the point is that we're actually doing a disservice to the kingdom of God.
Yeah.
Rather than the service that he called us to. And so I do think we have a responsibility to one another. Like, mm-hmm. if I see us interacting
mm-hmm.
without compassion mm-hmm. to the world, like, it's our responsibility to go, hey, mm-hmm. I noticed this in you, and I don't, I see inconsistencies.
Mm-hmm. That's accountability within the church, which I think is 100% accurate and should not be done publicly. And, you know, but when you're talking to those, when you're interacting with those outside the church, who don't claim the gospel, you'd never see Jesus reacting in a negative way towards mm-hmm. him. It's always that compassion and mm-hmm. care.
What did you guys think about the person of peace thing that Pastor Eric talked about? Kind of a
looking for a person of peace.
Yeah, like, because I think sometimes you say person of peace and we think like, oh, that's me, or that should be me, versus like looking for that open person in your network that's like, oh. You know, like, an example might be like, if there's someone in your neighborhood who's like always doing block parties or, you know, it doesn't have to be you. You can, like, that person is open in some form. They're doing some form of what I know biblical hospitality would be, I guess, even though they're not, may not be Christians. I don't know. Just looking for ins with people who are already open, I think is very important to call out, because we, again, with this battle thing, we don't have to like break people down to then build them back up. That's not our role. So let's just find the people that are receptive to us.
Yeah.
I don't know. I thought it was cool.
Yeah. It's an interesting approach for sure.
Yeah.
I think it goes to that sort of savvy, follower savvy approach. Like, we can think a little bit more about this, because there probably are those people that we can identify.
Yeah.
That God is priming, you know, for a conversation. Could be 10 years down the road, but but they care about social justice, they care about injustice, they care about equality, equity, all those sorts of things.
Or there's, and it kind of gets into that third point, right? Don't just say stuff, do stuff.
Yes,
like,
exactly.
Or there are actions I can take in order to move them into a place where they're going to be amenable or open to hear the gospel, or to let me ask to pray for them, or to something like that. Like, I'm thinking like my neighbors and different people I interact with, like Emily and I. That savvy follower, like the little antenna, are always up. Like, okay, I mean, we generally enjoy them, but like, okay, what steps could we do that's going to open potentially the door that God could use to then give them an invite, talk to them about spiritual things, whatever it might be.
Mm-hmm. Or even honor the actions that they're doing.
Yeah. Yes.
Like, I think about this often. There's people in my life now, and even I've interacted with over time that, this is the phrase that I use, but they're better Christians than us sometimes.
Yeah.
Like, those people who are far from Jesus, like, mm-hmm. they're they're doing the work. Mm-hmm. Where I might say I need to do the work and not actually do the work, they're actually doing the work. So what does it look like to honor that action? Mm-hmm. Because good. Those are the people of peace.
Mm-hmm. That's good.
Yeah.
Celebrate what they're doing.
Celebrating.
And that creates a connection that creates an in that creates. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I loved his statement too about just don't say stuff, do stuff. Just with all the division we're dealing with all the just like everything feels like a hot topic. The way he said it is part of the answer for Christianity right now in our time mm-hmm. is that it's time to get back to the basics of doing good and living out our calling in our normal life. I mean, that
period, the end. Yeah.
And our first reaction is probably like, well, that's just too simple.
But it, yeah.
Yeah. It's okay that it's simple.
So practical way, I guess. So for me, practically, so, I mean, we're doing the egg hunt thing, right? Yeah. We're encouraging people like Emily and I have picked out a date and we're going to go buy candy and we're going to have an egg hunt for all the families that we've been intentionally cultivating relationships with. Mm-hmm. And you know what? I mean, we're supposed to be like, oh, invite them to Easter. I'm going to be a little bit savvy because I know there's a couple of my neighbors who...
Right.
Actually, that would probably get shut down pretty mm-hmm. quick. But
like, oh, there's their agenda.
Right, exactly.
And I don't want, we're kind of walking that aware, but mm-hmm. let's get all the kids together and mm-hmm. they can go find all the jelly beans and Reese's and they can lick out the Cadbury egg stuff. And but we can just have a good time and connect and like just be a neighbor.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
One thing we thought about is we're going to attend on Saturday to make room on Sunday, like for more people. Our one neighbor last year, they asked us if we would like do eggs together, like for the boys, just to, again, they're better than us. Just we're like,
you're
oh yeah,
that, head.
Yeah. Like, that's what so I they did that last year for and with us. We did that together. So we're just going to invite, we're going to do that again, but do it on Sunday morning and just invite like the people that have kids across the street. And but that'll all be, it's not going to be like, oh, and then let's go to the service. I think we're just going to like let it lay. Because we're just like trying to like expand the circle.
Yeah, it's really good.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes it's just like one step every year. You know what I mean? It takes a while sometimes.
But. Yep.
Yeah. And we've said that before as well. Like,
I think it's going to be really fun for you.
I hope so.
We always want to check off the list, right?
Yeah.
We always want to seem like we're successful. But I mean, you said, I think, a couple of podcasts, but like God is heavily invested in the process.
Yeah.
Yes.
And he's actually more honored in the process than he is about the destination mm-hmm. at times, mm-hmm. you know, and we're just so quick in this fast culture. We just want to get mm-hmm. to the destination. Look what we did, Jesus. But we missed five steps in the process, you know? So we have to get into the place of embracing the process. And that is the process, mm-hmm. like the everyday, small acts mm-hmm. of kindness.
Yep.
Like God is honored in the, you know, the unsexy, if you will,
mm-hmm.
the unsexiness of life. Mm-hmm. Like, you know, we didn't give them the gospel. Yeah, but you cared for them.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they went through a hard time. You actually knew they went through a hard time.
Mm-hmm.
That's a win.
Yeah.
Like, do you know when your neighbors are going through a hard time? Mm-hmm. You know, do you actually know what's going on in their life? That's mm-hmm. the win, really.
Those are the moments he's very likely calling us into that are easy to miss when he's desperately calling us to step into those small but impactful, compassionate moments.
It's what's act justly, love mercy, walk humbly.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
Micah, whatever. Is that right?
Yeah, that's Micah.
Good job.
So, thanks. I've read the Bible sometimes. That's just such a mantra, such an easy mantra to remember. Okay. Any other thoughts?
Nope.
Me neither.
This was a good one.
Hey, so the theme in this one is ordinary heroes. And the question is, what is my next small step of obedience today? I think we've given some ideas.
Yeah.
When I was taking notes, I just wrote some thoughts like maybe it's to stop doom scrolling. Maybe it's to stop keyboard worrying. Maybe we need to learn our neighbor's name. Yep. Maybe we need to ask our coworker about our like something in life. Like, how was your weekend? How was this thing I knew you were going to? Whatever. Maybe we need to put our phone down and look at our kid in the eye.
Oh.
Like, whatever. Like, there's a small step that we can all take in this that will move the kingdom forward. And like we're saying, it doesn't have to be some mountain-moving thing. So yeah.
It almost shouldn't be some mounting moving.
No. And actually, that would be a good discipline. Like, yeah. What is a simple thing I can do?
Yeah, and I think that's what it is, right? What is
small step?
What's the next small step of obedience?
Yeah, what's right in front of you right now?
Keep it small.
Yeah.
Think about it and keep it small.
Yeah, don't minimize it. Don't minimize it.
Yeah, actually,
elevate it to the place that it needs to be.
And celebrate it. Tell somebody. Tell a friend that you did it. Or tell us, whatever. But yeah.
Yeah, have you been living in your neighborhood for 5 years, 10 years? Like,
I asked for a weed whacker. Awesome.
Right.
Awesome.
Yeah.
Good.
Yeah. Who are those people around you?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Okay. So we're taking a little break and we'll be back in about, I think we said 6 weeks or so. Yeah, 5 or 6 weeks.
May, right?
Yeah, back in May.
Back in May. So again.
Bummer.
I know. Whoisgrace.com/Mark for the sermon and these resources. And we'll see you in a little bit. Thanks, guys.
Bye.
Bye, everyone.